चाराहम यदि तच्चा यो वशिष्येत सोम्यः.
Prior to the cosmic creation, only I exist, and no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything, and after annihilation, only I remain eternally. The word yat refers to Brahman, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam. The Brahman effulgence expands unlimitedly from that source. So the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but His effulgence of energy, Brahman, expands unlimitedly. From that Brahman energy, the creation appears, just as a cloud appears in sunshine. From the cloud comes rain, from the rain comes vegetation, and from the vegetation come fruits and flowers, which are the basis of subsistence for many other forms of life. Similarly, the effulgent bodily luster of the Supreme Lord is the cause of the creation of infinite universes. The Brahman effulgence is impersonal, but the cause of that energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Him, in His abode, the Vaikunthas, this Brahma-jyoti emanates. He is never impersonal. Since they cannot understand the in-source of the Brahman energy, impersonalists mistakenly choose to think this impersonal Brahman the ultimate or the absolute goal. But as stated in the Upanishads, one has to penetrate the impersonal effulgence to see the face of the Supreme Lord. If one desires to reach the source of the sunshine, he has to travel through the sunshine to reach the sun, and then meet the predominating deity there. The Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, Bhagwan, as the Srimad Bhagavatam explains.
And we also came to know that, Lord Chaitanya also came from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And with the most merciful purports by the previous acharyas, which have been synthesized and illuminated upon by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are given entrance into the divine lila of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We find that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins Chaitanya Charitamrita by describing, in essence, the most important philosophical principles, which are a preliminary prerequisite to understanding in truth the Leela of Sri Gauranga. Many people are very fond of hearing the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, the very beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they do not really understand what is the deep significance of these pastimes. And also, when they hear, their hearts are plagued with misconceptions in regard to what is the Absolute Truth and how to understand the Absolute Truth. Therefore, these very, very basic principles of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy are being quite elucidly explained before we enter into the actual Leela of Sri Chaitanya. In this way, we will have a prepared heart and a prepared mind to hear with the proper state of consciousness. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is describing the importance of Guru, the nature of Guru. Unless we hear from the lips of a bona fide spiritual master, understand who is a bona fide spiritual master, understand what our relationship with him is, how possibly will we understand the truth, which can only be revealed through such a bona fide guru to this world and to our lives? So here also it is being described the actual position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his three primary aspects as realized by liberated souls.
Vadanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yajganam advayam brahmiti paramapeti bhagavan iti shaktite.
That this non-dual personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, is understood in three features: as Brahman, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan. Now, how to understand how these principles relate to one another is the full knowledge of the absolute truth. Especially in this land of India, because of the very, very prominent rise of impersonalism, people are under the condition that you are God, I am God, everything is God, that ultimately God is formless, that ultimately God is Brahman, everything is coming from that Brahman, and all differentiation, all variety, are only a temporary manifestation of Maya, and that liberation means to cease activities, to cease thoughts, to cease the misconception of personality and variegatedness, and enter into that brilliant effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. This is the path of the jnanis. They are striving to understand what is Brahma. Now, of course, we accept, according to Shastra, that this realization of Brahman is the understanding of the eternal aspect of the Absolute Truth. Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is represented by Brahman realization, Chit by Paramatma realization, and Ananda by Bhagavan realization. Sat means eternality. Brahman is that feature of the Lord beyond the temporary material existence. Why is there suffering in this world? Dukalayam ashashvatam. Because everything in this world is temporary. And therefore, liberation or mukti means to come beyond the temporary condition of this world. Why do we suffer? Because everything has a beginning and end. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jona evate atyantavanta konti anathe sunamate buddha. That an intelligent person does not delight in the pleasures of the senses because he knows they have a beginning and an end. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means temporary. The temporary condition of our life is the cause of all our miseries. Janma mriti jara vyadi. Due to the temporary nature of this existence, we have to grow old, we have to get diseased, we have to die, and then we have to take another birth. These are the miseries. So, to come out of misery means to transcend the temporary condition of life of this world and enter into the eternal. Where there is eternality, there can be no suffering. Mukti means liberation from the temporary, an entrance into the divine, eternal energy of God. And therefore, this is one of the very, very great forms of liberation that is available by the mercy of Sri Krishna. So, Sat means the eternal aspect of God. Chit means knowledge. Who is the source of all knowledge? Krishna says in Gita that Vedaham samatitani varatamananichajana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashchana. that I know everything past, present, and future. I know all living beings. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated within the heart of, as Paramatma, and I am the source of all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So the Paramatma is the reservoir of all knowledge. And therefore the yogis, they aspire to enter into the chit potency of the Lord by realization of the Paramatma, or the Lord in the heart. And Ananda. Ananda means the supreme infinite bliss of the soul. And Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead, is that feature of Godhead which is the source of all bliss. Because by entering into the divine Leela of the Lord, we can enjoy the eternal Ananda, the eternal bliss, which is the inherent nature of the soul. Therefore, Brahman realization, we accept as a partial realization of the Absolute Truth. To realize Paramatma means also the inclusion of Brahman. But to realize Bhagavan is the full manifestation of the realization of Krishna, because it includes Sat, Chit, Ananda. Just as the example is given of the sun has rays. The rays are the energy which are all pervading everywhere, the source of all light. Everything is resting within the sun rays. But the source of the sun rays is the sun planet. If you understand the sun planet, automatically you understand the sun rays. But within the sun planet is the sun god, Surya. And to understand him means to understand the planet as well as the rays. But you can have a personal relationship with him. And that personal relationship is the source of joy and bliss. Sat means mukti, or eternal liberation, or pure being. Chit means knowledge, but Ananda means love. And the nature of every living being is to seek love. Therefore, it is explained by Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kaivalya Narakayate, that even if one attains the realization of Brahman, because the nature of the soul is to seek love, and there is no loving relationship in that realization of the Lord, that living being must again, sooner or later, fall down into this material world looking for some loving relationship. And the Brahmavadis are those bona fide transcendentalists who are seeking this particular realization of the Absolute Truth. And the bhaktas, they, even in the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the bhaktas, they see the personality of Godhead. Because they understand how this effulgence is coming from the personal form of Sri Krishna. As it is described in Sri Ishopanishad, is that? 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam bhusan apavranu satyadharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Please remove that covering and exhibit yourself
to your pure devotee.
The devotee of the Lord knows that the source of this brilliant effulgence of Brahman is the personality of Godhead. And therefore, this material nature, which is made up of 24 elements, the devotee wants to transcend this. He wants to pierce through these material coverings. And within this entire creation, is all resting within the Brahmajyoti, or the spiritual sky. It is described that Sri Krishna is living in Goloka, Sri Narayan is living in Vaikuntha. From the personal rays of his body, the entire planet of Vaikuntha is illuminated. And from that planet of Vaikuntha, the Brahmajyoti is spreading in all directions, everywhere. It is a spiritual light. It is like the light of this world, where the further you go from the light, the dimmer it becomes. But in spiritual light, everything, everywhere, the light in and of itself, every ray, is full of the divine energy of Godhead. And the entire spiritual sky, all Vaikuntha planets with the various forms of Narayan are resting within this spiritual sky, or Brahmajyoti. There is a Vaikuntha planet for the devotees of Ram, for the devotees of Varaha, for the devotees of Narasimhadev, for the devotees of Narayan. Every form of God, if you worship that form in this world and become pure devotee, you can gain entrance into that particular Vaikuntha planet where that particular manifestation of Narayan is existing eternally, and you can have eternal relationship with him. So there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, eternal spiritual worlds, all resting within the spiritual sky. And the spiritual sky has no beginning and no end. But it is described when the Supreme Lord decides he wants to create this material existence as a facility for the living beings to enjoy apart from him. Within the spiritual sky comes a cloud called the Mahatattva. And within this Mahatattva, or cloud, all the material ingredients are contained. And it is described that Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu, he lies within this Mahatattva. And by his glance, he impregnates within this Mahatattva all life and all living beings, all jivatmas that are meant to take birth within the cosmic creation. So, to liberate ourselves from the temporary sufferings of this world, we must pierce through the 24 elements which compose the material creation within this Mahatattva. We must transcend the Mahatattva and enter into the Brahmajyoti, which is the spiritual sky in which it is resting. And for the jnanis, this is the supreme goal of life. But for the devotees, for the bhaktas, we want to enter into that spiritual planet of Vaikuntha, which is the source of Mahatattva and Brahmajyoti, and we want to enter into a personal loving relationship with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So therefore, through bhakti, only Krishna says, bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yashtasmitatvata, that only through bhakti can one understand me as I am. And it is that Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, who the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, explains, from whose body the whole Brahma Jyoti is emanating, that cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam, He comes to this world to reveal himself to us in his original personal form. That is the true greatness of God. That is the supreme mercy of God. In one sense, Krishna is Vibhu, which means infinite. And the Jivatma is Anu, which means quantitatively, we are finite. And how is it possible for the finite to know the infinite? The impersonalist philosophers, they explain that if the finite could know the infinite, that would mean that the finite must be infinite. Does that make sense? So that means if we are infinite, that means we are Vibhu, that means we are God. We are not just a part if we are infinite. But the Bhaktas have another way of looking at it, which is a higher principle. That if the infinite could not make himself known to the finite, he would not be infinite. Do you understand? Because this argument may come upon you. If you say that you can know God, and God is infinite, and you say that you are Anu, finite, how is it possible? Now we are finite because we don't know God, but if we can know the infinite, that makes us infinite. That means we are God. So what is your reply? Do you have an argument for that? If you don't, then the eternal principle of loving service to the Lord is defeated. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnare Nityadas. Therefore, this is the reply that you must give. That if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, he is not infinite. This is the difference between the ascending process and the descending process. The ascending process is through our tapasya, through our knowledge of Veda, through our sadhana, that we are going to attain a supreme position of knowledge of God. But the descending process of bhakti is that God is great. He is unlimited. He is inconceivable, and he is all merciful. And by pleasing him, he makes himself known to us by his causeless mercy. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam bhatvadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Krishna says, after many births and deaths, after one finally comes to the point of knowledge, one surrenders to Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Is there any questions in this regard?
That is why the mercy of the infinite is he makes himself understood to the finite.
And the supreme infinite personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, by his causeless mercy, enters into this material world and appears just like an ordinary human being to many. But he reveals his divine pastimes just to attract our minds back to that land of infinity, that land of love, Goloka. Now, some people, they claim that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. So what do you say to that?
The Bhagavatam says, Krishna is the Bhagavan, so all others are either incarnation of unary portion or portion of the plenary portion.
So according to the Bhagavatam, Krishna is the Bhagavan. Ete chang shakala pungshang, Krishna is the Bhagavan. That means that Krishna... that Krishna appears, the Supreme Absolute Truth appears in so many forms, and we have just described Veda Vyasa, so many of the principal incarnations, but of all of them, Krishna is the source of all. He is the original. But still, we see that so many bona fide Vaishnava charges say that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Ramanuja says that, Madhva says that. Are they wrong?
In one sense they are not wrong, because in one sense Krishna appears as incarnation of Vishnu, and at the same time Vishnu is a part of Krishna.
You see, any of the incarnations that come into this world, they are incarnations of Chirodakshai Vishnu. We see that when Krishna, before he advented, because of the great atrocities of Kamsa, the demigods approached Lord Brahma, appealing to him to call upon Narayan to come into this world. They do. They went to the ocean of milk. And there, they offered their prayers to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, in the heart of Brahma, explained to him that tell all the demigods that yes, I will fulfill their desire, I will incarnate. I will come as a member of the Yadu dynasty. So, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Krishna appears as an incarnation of him. In fact, all the incarnations, Matsyavatar, Kurma Avatar, Parasuram Avatar, Varaha Avatar, Nrsingh Avatar, Vamana Avatar, Ram Avatar, Balaram Avatar, Buddha Avatar, Kalki Avatar, all the incarnations of Godhead, they are all the incarnations of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But Krishna, who is the source of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, appears through him. So therefore he is an incarnation of Vishnu on one level. As far as incarnations go, he and all other incarnations are incarnations of Vishnu. But at the same time, he is also the source of Vishnu. So they are both correct. So therefore we have no argument if someone says Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Say yes, that is correct. But we also understand from the Bhagavatam that Vishnu is also an expansion of Krishna. Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, but Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna.
Brahman, you said Brahman is the eternal aspect. But Brahman was also described as the source of bliss.
Yes. Krishna says in the Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. That I am the, he says, I am the source and the basis of Brahman, which is the source of great bliss. But you see, this is mukti is blissful compared to bhukti or material enjoyment, because it's the source of all suffering. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains the difference. He says, compared even to the greatest pleasures of this world, the most wonderful sex life, the most wonderful aggrandizement, and the most wonderful power to control material nature, the pleasures of that, compared to the pleasure of mukti, which means to experience that I am eternal, it is like one drop. It is like one drop compared to an ocean. The pleasure of Brahman realization is millions and millions of times greater than any pleasures of this world. So compared to material life, it is supremely blissful. But then Rupa Goswami explains, but compared to the bliss of the loving service of Sri Hari in the spiritual world of Goloka, the bliss of mukti is like one fraction of a part of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean. So there are different degrees of bliss. When we are speaking of Satchit Ananda, the Ananda of Bhagavan is the supreme bliss, the supreme spiritual ecstasy, pure love of God. Any other questions? Yes?
Still not clear about how Krishna appears through Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But maybe Krishna appears directly from
Prabhupada,
the only exception. I thought Krishna is the only exception to that. All the incarnations come from Shiradaksha Vishnu. But Krishna appears himself as he is, without the medium of any other form of form.
He's not dependent on any other form. Vishnu and Krishna are the same person, just taking different positions. But when Krishna comes into this world, he follows the etiquette of all other incarnations. You see, they approached Kshirodakshai Vishnu. They approached him. And therefore, he appeared through the agency of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. It was Kshirodakshai Vishnu that spoke to Brahma and said, "Yes, I will come." The ocean of milk is the place which is around the island of Svetadvipa, which is the abode of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So they were appealing to him. It's not that he comes through like a child comes through a mother, that he comes through the womb. It means he comes through the agency of. They appeal to him, and he responded and said, "Yes, I will come." Then he came as Krishna. Yes. He appeared first in that form. Then he transformed himself into Krishna. So in one sense, even right before Vasudeva's eyes, he saw that this baby is an incarnation of Krishna, or Vishnu. Was he not? So in that sense, he is an incarnation of Vishnu. So we accept. But at the same time, where is Kshirodakshai Vishnu coming from? He's an expansion of Krishna. He's an expansion of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, who is an expansion of Karanodakshai Vishnu, who is an expansion of the Chaturvyuha, which means Shankarshad, Prajumanani, Rudra, Vasudev, who is incarnation of Narayan, who is incarnation of the original Shankarshad, Prajumanani, Rudra, and Vasudev, who is an incarnation of Balaram, who is an expansion, not incarnation, but an expansion of Shamsuta. Govindam Adi Purushanta Mahamapaja, the original Purusha, Govinda.
So in that sense, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna.
Yes.
So that Balaram is different from the Balaram which incarnates as one of the 10 incarnations. Again, the same logic.
Same Balaram. But he also is considered incarnation of Vishnu because he's coming through that agency as well. In other words, Krishna has established certain principles of how he incarnates.
In the three Purusha incarnations, after Karanodaksha Vishnu, we say there is Garbhodaksha Vishnu, who lies in the Garbha, in the Garbha ocean. And that is different from the milk ocean.
What does Kshira mean?
Kshira is milk. The Garbha is different. His name is Vishnu Kama. Brahma Kama. Because Brahma is one particular universe. Apart from him, Garbhodaksha incarnates as another Vishnu into a separate portion.
But in Svetadvipa, that is the residence of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. But it is explained that same Kshirodakshai Vishnu enters into the heart of all living beings, and then between every atom.
In the Bhagavatam, we are told whenever the demigods go to appeal to Vishnu, it is the Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So it is not the source of Brahma that they go to.
Kshirodakshai Vishnu, all the Vishnus are the same person, they are all the sources of Brahma.
Yeah, but I mean the personality.
But an expansion of that. Literal expansion of Brahma. Atmabhu, as Brahma is born without a mother, is born directly from Narayana.
You see, that you thought understood is that the impersonalist philosophy is that you have to attain the Brahma Jyoti. That is the main goal as such. And we say that there you could not get a less lasting peace. They have to come once again there because a loving relationship is not there. Then why the people are getting more attracted to impersonalist philosophy when there is no lasting peace?
It may last for hundreds of quadrillions of years, because you're in a frame work that is beyond time. The Brahma Jyoti is beyond time. So in one sense, it is eternal and everlasting, because 1 minute in eternity is eternity. There's no time in the Brahma Jyoti. It's very inconceivable to try to understand. But sometime or other, even within a realm where there's no time, that natural propensity of the soul to love, to reciprocate, will awaken. And in that condition, if one has consciousness of Vaikuntha and Narayan, the soul will go there. You could go from Brahma Jyoti to Narayan. But if you have not cultivated that awareness, then you will simply be looking for that loving reciprocation in this material world.
Is it true that from Vaikuntha we cannot go directly to Krishna Loka?
In Vaikuntha, if you have the desire to enjoy, not to enjoy, to be enjoyed by Krishna in a spontaneous rasa, then you will be transferred to Goloka. Vaikuntha is Chintamani Dham. Whatever you desire will be fulfilled. But in Vaikuntha, people like Hanumanji in Ayodhya, he's planet of Ayodhya in Vaikuntha, he does not want to be a friend of Krishna. He simply wants to be served. Vaikuntha, all the residents there are simply ecstatically immersed in total satisfaction, loving Krishna as his eternal servant.
So isn't that bad? Theoretically one can go from Brahma Jyoti to Vaikuntha, but actually what is happening is most of the souls are falling down.
But the difference is, in Vaikuntha your heart is full of desires to please Krishna. Brahma Jyoti, all of your personal attributes are in an unmanifested state, including all of your desires are in an unmanifested state. So eventually that desire has to again come into your heart. That desire for love. And where will you go? If you haven't developed that Krishna consciousness, then you will again come to the world to try to find some love.
But then you don't have the spiritual body in the Brahma Jyoti state.
In the Brahma Jyoti, you have no body.
The
soul is there, but the soul has an eternal spiritual body, even right now, but it is in undeveloped, undeveloped and unmanifested state. In the Brahma Jyoti, you remain as a spark. It's like the sunshine is full of rays. The Brahma Jyoti is full of rays. Each jivatma is a ray of the Brahma Jyoti.
So is there preaching there also for bringing the souls to?
I just said there is no personality, there is no conscious of personality. There's no talking, there's no walking, there's no thinking. There's simply existing. You do nothing but exist.
So automatically their desires change and then they transfer themselves to my soul or fall down.
Yes. So these things are very important that we should very, this is a good opportunity that we could very, very thoroughly understand, comprehend all the basic principles of Krishna conscious philosophy. And then by the time we get to the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be very well prepared. Huh? So we are going slowly but surely through the Sadi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Consider it very important. I hope it's not too much an austerity for all of you.
Is there any process in Krishna consciousness by which we can understand when the person dies in material body, his rebirth, or he has gone to Vaikuntha, or he has gone to Goloka?
What is the question? Is there a way you can know where a person goes after it?
By the quality of the person's life, you can understand where Krishna has taken him. Mm-hmm. person is surrendered to Lord Narayan, you can know he's gone to Vaikuntha. If a person is purely surrendering his heart and his life to Krishna, you can know he's gone to Goloka. If a person is struggling in this material world trying to be Krishna conscious, you can know that he's going to take another birth as a devotee and continue where he left off. If a person is sinful, you can know he's been probably cast into either into some suffering species of life. We are not so concerned with these things.